The Senate Health and Human Services Committee will come to order. We're going to have a public hearing on House Bill 2498, and would you please explain?
Thank you, Senator Mercovian. You have in front of you House Bill 2498A. Basically, what the bill does is requires health insurance coverage for clinical breast examinations, and I have the House staff measure summary there in front of you. We also have with this bill the Dash A3 amendments, and basically all that the A3 amendments do is changes on line 12 of the bill, the A and Gross bill. An annual clinical breast examination for the purpose of early detection for a woman 40 years of age and older. It changes that age to 18 years of age and older. That's what I have. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. So we will open the public hearing on House Bill 2498 and Representative Rosenbaum.
I'm right here, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Elizabeth Steiner and Hans. Yeah, Hans got it. Representative Rosenbaum, you may introduce yourself.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I am State Representative Diane Rosenbaum. I represent House District 42 in southeast and northeast Portland. Very pleased today to be here in support, actually, of both of these bills, although right now I guess we're only on House Bill 2498. But let me just say that House Bill 2497 and 2498, I think, are two of the most significant bills, certainly for the women of Oregon and their families, that you will be voting on this session. And in fact, when these bills were heard on the House side, both bills passed unanimously, both out of committee and on the floor of the House. And we had some very moving testimony, including from the Speaker and many other members, talking about their own experience with family members or friends or even themselves who had experienced life-saving treatments that resulted from the fact that Oregon has had requirements for coverage for annual women's health exams that include mammograms and pap smears for some time. And the wonderful thing that you will hear about shortly in House Bill 2497 is that we now know that we have saved hundreds of thousands of lives by having these preventive exams and screening, and we have decided in that bill to make the requirements permanent in Oregon law, in other words, to remove the periodic sunsets that had been in law, because we know that these are not experimental treatments, that they are ones that have proven their value in both saving lives and in saving money. And these bills are centerpieces of the Oregon Women's Health and Wellness Alliance, which has fought for the original requirements and has been in the forefront every time they've been up for renewal. So that organization is also very pleased that you were hearing the bills today. I'm here specifically to talk about House Bill 2498 and urge your passage. And what House Bill 2498 does is put a requirement spelled out in law that an annual clinical breast exam is also included in the coverage that is required for those that have health insurance in Oregon. It's interesting because when we knew that we were going to have to introduce legislation because the current requirements were going to sunset at the end of this legislative session without a new bill passing, we were sitting around and talking about physical breast exam, which is what a clinical breast exam is, and everybody had assumed that it was already spelled out in the statute that a clinical breast exam was part of the annual women's health exam. But come to find out that though we had assumed that, like many things in statute, it never had been stated that that was part of what was included. And so we did end up deciding to draft legislation that you see in House Bill 2498 that will now make it clear that a physical breast exam is part of what's included. It's extremely important that a clinical breast exam be provided along with a mammogram. We know that mammograms are wonderful technologies, and they've certainly gotten better through the years, so that we're now picking up lots and lots of cases of breast cancer when they're not even palpable at a much earlier stage, so that we're saving lives and money by treating breast cancer at an earlier stage. But as you will shortly hear from Dr. Steiner, that does not work for every case of breast cancer, and it's crucial that a physical breast exam also be part of what is provided, so that some cases that don't show up on a mammogram at all are going to be detected through a physical breast exam. I also want to talk about the, I think yours is the -A3 amendment, because it's extremely important that that be included in this bill. And the age that is in the bill that's before you at age 40 is actually a really, I would call it a drafting error in the bill. When this bill got separated from all the other requirements, legislative council just automatically picked up the age of 40, because the age of 40 is when the mammogram requirement is applicable. But, you know, that makes sense for mammograms, because mammograms are pretty...
We're going to open a public hearing for House Bill 2497. So you can talk about both now.
About both bills. Okay.
You have been talking about both.
And now I can do it legally. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, the mammogram requirement, which has always kicked in at age 40, that is the logical age, because mammograms are really not effective for younger women. But for clinical breast exams, they really should begin at the same age that women start getting an annual women's health exam, and that is age 18, in some cases earlier. But our current law requires that the annual women's health exam be covered starting at age 18, and that's the exam that includes a pap smear and a pelvic exam. And for younger women in particular, you really want there to be a clinical breast exam, because there are cases, though not as frequent, of young women getting breast cancer. And we know that when young women get breast cancer, it's more serious, it's often more difficult to treat, and the mortality rate is actually higher. And so the epidemic of breast cancer is even more serious when you're talking about a young onset. And for younger women, mammograms, because younger women have denser breasts, are just not an effective technology in a lot of cases for detecting the lump or the other evidence of breast cancer. So for all of those reasons, I really would urge you to adopt this bill with the amendment in it, to make sure that the women who need this life-saving preventive care are getting it at the age that they need it. And I can assure you that the women of Oregon are watching and will be very thankful when this bill moves out of this committee speedily and to the floor, because we know that we have already saved many, many thousands of lives, and that there are many more still to be saved. Some of them, your colleagues, your sisters, your wives, your mothers, and the women of Oregon need this legislation. So I thank you very much for holding the hearing today. We'd be happy to answer any questions, but I think you will be even more edified by hearing from Dr. Steiner, who will testify next.
Thank you. Dr. Steiner.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Elizabeth Steiner. I'm a family physician and with about 15 years of clinical experience. For the last 5 years, I've been at Oregon Health and Science University as a research assistant professor of family medicine and as associate director of the OHSU Cancer Institute Breast Health Education Program. The Breast Health Education Program is an integral part of the Cancer Institute's Cancer Control and Prevention section. Since 1999, this program has trained almost 700 clinicians around Oregon to perform vertical strip, three-pressure method clinical breast exam, or CBE as we call it. We've implemented similar training programs in all the family medicine, internal medicine, and obstetrics and gynecology residents in our state, and are in the process of doing training and research on this technique for medical students and practicing clinicians around Oregon. We In addition to my academic roles, I am also chair of the External Affairs Commission of the Oregon Academy of Family Physicians and sit on the Legislative Committee of the Oregon Medical Association, and I'm testifying on behalf of both of these professional organizations as well. Both strongly support 2498 and 2497. HSPA 2498 would require insurance companies to include clinical breast exam, or CBE, in the list of covered women's health services. There are several medical issues that make this proposed change reasonable and prudent. First, mammography alone isn't enough to detect breast cancer at its earliest, most treatable stages. This is particularly true for women under the age of 45. Second, early detection saves lives. Third, early detection reduces health costs. Fourth, many women know they do not need annual pap smears under current medical protocols, and so they do not seek annual screening CBE, because this service may not be covered separately. Fifth, many clinicians do not have enough time to do a high-quality CBE, in large part because they are not reimbursed for this care independent of a routine women's health exam. Finally, CBE benefits all women, especially those under 45, and will continue to be of benefit in the long term regardless of technologic advances. Let me speak first, if I may, about screening mammography. Many clinicians and patients misunderstand the value and limitations of this technology. Mammography is a critically important part of breast cancer screening. However, it is insufficient unless combined with high-quality CBE. Mammography has a false negative rate of up to 40% in women under the age of 45, and even as high as 10% in women over the age of 60. The false negative rate is the percentage of times a test is normal when the patient actually has the disease. So in the case of mammographic screening, for every 100 women under 45 who have breast cancer, mammography will only discover 60, leaving 40 undetected. This is why high-quality CBE is so important. Many of the cancers that mammography misses are found by high-quality CBE. This brings us to the next important points. 95% of women diagnosed when cancer is confined to the breast itself, this is called stage 1, are alive and well at 5 years. But only 75% of those diagnosed at stage 2, when the cancer is spread outside the breast, are still alive at 5 years. Breast cancer treatment is also expensive, and the costs soar dramatically when a woman is diagnosed at stage 2 or beyond. At that point, treatment must include chemotherapy in addition to surgery and radiation, adding at least $100,000 to the direct cost of a woman's care, and significantly increasing short and long-term adverse effects from the treatment itself. CBE, done independently of women's health exam, costs less than $100 and can easily detect stage 1 breast cancer when done well. The usual women's health exam includes CBE and pelvic exam with pap smear. I mentioned CBE done independently of a woman's health exam for two reasons. First, some women legitimately do not need pelvic exams and pap smears every year, but do require breast exams annually. And this care will not be reimbursed if the pelvic exam is not done under most fee-for-service health plans at this time. As a result, women don't seek breast cancer screening in the years when they don't need pap smears. Or worse, they may get a mammogram alone without CBE, and both the women and their clinicians are falsely reassured by a negative mammogram. Optimally, clinical breast exam should always precede mammography, because any questionable finding discovered on CBE leads to what we call a diagnostic or more focused mammogram, increasing the benefit of this screening technique. Second, thorough CBE takes time, up to 5 to 7 minutes per breast in some women. Not surprisingly, it is impossible to fit an exam of this length into the 30 minutes usually allotted for a routine women's health exam. If CBE were reimbursed separately, clinicians could either add time to the women's health exam slots or reschedule a woman whose exam would take more time and do her CBE separately, thereby markedly increasing the quality of the exam. There is one detail of 2498 that we would suggest amending. As has been noted, CBE is particularly beneficial for younger women, when mammography is less helpful, and therefore we do recommend changing the age in which an annual CBE begins from 40 to 18 years of age or older, and this is as mentioned in the -A3 amendment before you. In summary, clinical breast exam is an inexpensive, widely available physical exam technique that can help detect cancer early and save lives. Historically, it has not been considered a procedure because because it does not require technology to perform. Reimbursing clinicians for performing this procedure will have substantial quality of life and economic benefits for Oregon. Thank you. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Hans.
Chair Morissette, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Hans Bernard, legislative aide to Senator Kate Brown. I'm here today to ask the committee to consider favorably the -A3 amendments to correct what Representative Rosenbaum accurately referred to as a drafting error and change the age of which this requirement would be placed from 40 to 18. Mammography is less effective in women under the age of 40 because when a woman is younger, breast tissue is denser, making it harder for the mammogram to distinguish between normal and abnormal cellular tissue or tumors. As we have heard from Dr. Steiner, because of mammography's reduced ability to detect cancer in women under the age of 45, the false negative rate is alarmingly high. Research has shown that this rate is close to 40% in women under the age of 45. This means that for every 100 women under the age of 45 who have breast cancer, mammography would leave 40 cases undetected. As we all know, early detection is the best prevention for breast cancer. It protects the women in our lives, and on behalf of Senator Kate Brown, I urge you to look favorably on the amendment. Today you will hear from medical professionals who are experts on these issues and women whose lives have been saved by this procedure. I ask that you consider the bill and vote favorably for the -A3 amendments.
Thank you, Hans.
Mr. Chair, with your permission, may I add one more comment?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. I would point out that in 2001-2002, of the 2,000 women in Oregon diagnosed with breast cancer, 200, or 1 in 10, was a woman under the age of 40. So this disease does occur frequently in women as young as 30, 35, and I believe you'll be hearing from some women today who are survivors after being diagnosed at such a young age. And from my conversations with representatives of the health plans in Oregon, they have no objection to lowering the age in this bill. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Suzanne Finsky, Rebecca Hamilton, Marcia Kelly. Welcome. Go ahead. You can start. Yeah. When you're ready, introduce yourself, please.
Thanks. Chairman Morissette and members of the committee, my name is Suzanne Fenske, and I'm from Lake Oswego, Oregon. I prepared this statement about my personal case. Mm-hmm. In April 1996, when I was 30, I was diagnosed with a very large breast tumor. I had extensive surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. In spite of all this, in January 2003, I found out my breast cancer had spread to my lungs, my liver, and my bones. The doctors think that I cannot be cured and that I will fight breast cancer for the rest of my life. My breast cancer was diagnosed when it was already in a fairly advanced stage. This doesn't have to happen to anyone else. In the case of a woman under 40, a clinical breast exam may be the only way she can have her cancer discovered early enough to be curable. I was 10 years too young to have a mammogram. A clinical breast exam done early enough would have detected my tumor when it was much smaller. It would have made the difference between long life and probable early death. Although I'm still too young for a mammogram, mammograms have made it possible for many people to be diagnosed when the cancer is small and easily curable. Thousands of people have had their lives saved by the early detection provided by mammography. We need health insurance coverage for clinical breast exams and mammograms. Without it, many people will die. Thank you.
Thank you. It says don't move the microphone, right?
Oh, did it?
No, but you can move it, though. I don't know why we have that sign there when obviously you have to move the microphone.
There's not a sign.
Oh, usually we have a sign there.
Yeah, maybe they got smart finally.
Yeah.
I'm Rebecca Hamilton, and I'm a 52-year-old breast cancer survivor. My cancer was detected very early with mammography. The initial reading of the mammogram was considered microcalcifications. In addition to the mammogram, my surgeon palpated a lump during the clinical exam, breast exam. This lump was not seen on mammography, and the ultrasound came back inconclusive. My actual diagnosis was made with wire-guided excisional biopsy for the microcalcification. The palpated lump was also biopsied and found positive. My tumors were only 2 and 3 millimeters. You don't read any literature about that. What a gift. I had bilateral mastectomies and no other treatment was recommended. In November of this year, I will have reached the 5-year mark. As I read through my insurance coverage in that year, 2000, I noticed that insurance was only going to cover mammograms every other year. It had been recommended that I have yearly mammograms secondary to having fibrocystic breasts. I had numerous previous mammograms, so I decided to skip that year. While working as a physical therapist at Providence Portland Medical Center, one of the nurses informed me that there was a mammogram fair happening for employees. The mammograms were free to persons who didn't have insurance coverage. I decided to schedule a mammogram. So many times I've wondered what would have happened had to my life had I waited for another mammogram. So I feel like I'm kind of a double beneficiary of the mammogram, which saw the microcalcifications and a wonderful surgeon who found a lump that I found to be so subtle and that I don't know when I would have discovered it myself. So I feel very blessed.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Chair Morissette and members of the committee, my name is Marcia Kelly, and I'm the lobbyist for the Oregon Women's Rights Coalition with numerous organizations. You've probably heard it before, including AUW of Oregon, as members. So we number about 10,000 women in the state. And we're just here to support both of the House bills for the sake of women's health. On a personal note, I was a staff member for the American Cancer Society in the Mid-Willamette Valley in the mid-1980s. And I had about 15 women who were either breast cancer survivors, oncology nurses, or breast cancer patients at the time who were trying to put together a organization to help answer questions for women who have been diagnosed with breast cancer. And in those 15 women, there were two who were within their early 30s with 4 or 5 kids between them who had breast cancer. Unfortunately, those women diagnosed later with aggressive breast cancer, I read the obituaries for within 2 years. This is very important to get to breast cancer in those early years because those children were then without a mother. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. I do have a letter of testimony from the Oregon Business Association signed by Lynn Munches, who is not here, that I would enter into the testimony. I'll read the very last paragraph. Would you want your mother, wife, sister, daughter, or friend to be denied the right to have her insurer cover a mammogram, a pelvic exam, prenatal care? Oregon Business Association does not want to see any woman in Oregon not receive this potentially life-saving care. Please vote your support on House Bill 249. That's on 2497. We are having a public hearing on both of these bills right now, so that's the lead-off for 2497. So, Charles Barr, Rebecca Herbalau, And Joanne. Joanne. I could handle the herbal, but the handwriting and the other, I'm not sure. But go, you do it. Okay. Rebecca, would you like to start?
Oh, sure.
Any, it doesn't matter, Charles.
After you.
Draw straws.
What a gentleman. Good afternoon, Chair Morissette and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Becca Ewer-Balau, and I am the Executive Director of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Oregon. We are here today to add our voice of support to House Bill 2497. Planned Parenthood Advocates of Oregon represents the two Planned Parenthood affiliates in Oregon, Planned Parenthood Health Services of Southwestern Oregon and Planned Parenthood of Columbia Willamette. We provide affordable reproductive health care to thousands of women and men in 16 clinics statewide. In our clinics just last year, we served over 80,000 patients. We provide a broad range of sexual and reproductive health care, family planning, and other medical services. As a health care provider that offers screening for cervical cancer, we understand the importance of providing insurance coverage for a patient's annual exam. An annual Pap test can be a life-saving procedure for many women. In the case of pelvic and Pap exams, screening has the potential to virtually eliminate invasive cervical cancer. And just as important, the chances of survival for women diagnosed with cervical cancer are greatest when detected in the earliest stages. It's also essential to require health insurers to cover pregnancy and delivery services to help ensure that women are receiving quality prenatal care and that they experience healthy births. Equally important is continuing to cover mammography. American women have a 1 in 7 chance of developing breast cancer, and overall, at this time, mammography is the best screening tool available. Planned Parenthood is committed to helping people make lifelong responsible choices and protecting their health. Mammography, pelvic and Pap exams, and healthy pregnancies are vital to women's basic health care. Renewing these requirements will ensure that Oregon women continue to have access to the best tools available for protecting their health. Planned Parenthood Advocates of Oregon urges passage and your support for House Bill 2497, this basic women's health care package. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jeremy Morissette, members of the committee. My name is Charlie Burr, and I am the Interim Executive Director of NARAL, Pro-Choice Oregon, and I am here today to urge your support of House Bill 2497. 6 years ago, the Oregon legislature voted to require insurance companies to cover pregnancy and childbirth experiences, expenses, mammograms, pelvic exams, Pap smear examinations. And I'm here asking you to continue this critical coverage. Oregon women deserve basic preventive health care. Breast cancer is the most commonly occurring cancer and the second leading cause of cancer death in women. Breast and cervical cancer are key health concerns for women, and regular screening and early detections are vital to ensuring women's survival. NARAL Pro-Choice Oregon works to protect and promote the full range of reproductive options, including bearing healthy children. Moreover, proper prenatal and pregnancy care is fundamental to healthy babies, healthy moms, and healthy women. Women pay on average 68% more of out-of-pocket expenses for health care than men. Continuing basic preventative coverage is not only imperative for women's health, but also for women's equity. Oregon women deserve equitable coverage, and I ask you to continue to support women's health by supporting House Bill 2497. Thanks for your support and consideration.
Thank you. Joanne. Introduce yourself, please.
Sharon Morissette and committee members. My name is Joanne Rogovoy. I am the State Program Director for the March of Dimes. The mission of our organization is to improve the health of mothers and babies by preventing birth defects and infant mortality. I'm here on behalf of the March of Dimes to ask your support of House Bill 2497. In particular, the bill relates to our mission in that it requires pregnancy and childbirth expenses be covered under insurance plans. Having insurance affects how people use health care services. We know that uninsured pregnant women receive fewer prenatal care visits, and they report a greater difficulty in finding health care providers and needed health care. Lack of health insurance that covers pregnancy and childbirth-related expenses are a major barrier when women are not able to pay out of pocket for these services. We know that prenatal care that begins early in pregnancy and continues throughout pregnancy is a key factor in preventing low birth weight and prematurity. Mothers who receive no prenatal care or prenatal care late in their pregnancy are twice as likely to deliver a low birth weight or preterm baby. Preterm infants are 14 times more likely to die in their first year of life. When we look at very preterm infants, they're more than 70 times more likely to die in the first year of life than infants who were born full term and normal weight. Prenatal care is designed to address problems in pregnancy. Prenatal care helps to address infections, diabetes, high blood pressure, and poor weight gain during pregnancy. It also opens up a window for other needed support services for pregnant women. And we need to look at poor outcomes of preventable birth defects. We look at the cost to Oregonians, cost to Oregonians millions. We know that hospital charges for babies born preterm are on average 30 times that of a full-term normal weight infant. One quarter of these infants that are born preterm will suffer a lifelong disability that's directly related to their preterm birth. All women need access to health insurance, and we're pleased to see that there's no sunset clause in 2497 because women will always need access to affordable and accessible health care. On behalf of the March of Dimes, we urge you to support 2497. Also, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today.
Thank you very much. Carol Mizrak, would you please come up? Jan Frankie and Courtney Dresser. I'm sorry.
Senator Morissette and members of the committee, today I've come wearing a different hat. I'm here as a private citizen who happens to also be a breast cancer survivor.
And your name is?
Carol Mizrak. Sorry. Thought everybody knew that. In December of 2001, I had a mammogram. It showed something strange. I've been trained to do manual breast exams for over 30 years, and I could not feel any lumps or bumps. I went to my family physician, my OBGYN physician, and two surgeons. None of us could palpate any kind of a mass. I had enough conflicting reviews on this strange finding that my family decided that it would be best for us to do a biopsy. I went to this exam feeling that this was far beyond what was needed to be done, but to satisfy my worrisome family, I went for the stereotactic biopsy. The test was nothing, and I was sure by now everyone could rest peacefully. On February 2nd, 2002, my bubble was broken. When the doctor told me they had found cancer in both my breasts, I almost fell over. I absolutely could not believe that no one felt a tumor. On February 12, 2002, I had bilateral mastectomies for cancer in both breasts, ductal in one, lobular, invasive in the other. I had 8 months of chemotherapy, 6 weeks of radiation, and I am now on anti-estrogen therapy, very possibly for the rest of my life. But the good news is that I am alive, I'm able to work, and to continue to help others deal with the issues of pain management. All of this happened after 12 sets of skilled hands found no lumps or bumps, but a mammogram found something strange. Mortality rates are getting lower in Oregon, but we still must make sure that all Oregon women and men who are suspect have the right to a mammogram.
That's very interesting, compelling testimony. I didn't realize that there were problems in detecting other than through the mammogram.
When you have a lobular cancer, it lines the lobes. It doesn't come out like a lump or a mass.
Okay.
and when it was biopsied, it was 3.2 centimeters, and it had already invaded all my lymph nodes. So, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Senator Morissette and members of the committee, thank you for taking my testimony today. My name is Sam Franke. I'm a retired high school government teacher in awe of all that I see each time that I come here. But in 2000, I was one of the 2,400 women in Oregon diagnosed with breast cancer. Instead of thinking in August about going back to my classroom, I was thinking about surgery and follow-up care. Early detection saved my life. It also saved my wonderful insurance company a lot of money, because that early detection meant that I only needed radiation. Let me tell you, that was a very long 35 treatments, but I did not require any chemotherapy because it was detected early. So, you know, if you're hearing from insurance companies they're concerned about this expense, I would say to you that I would be happy to dig up some information about a comparison of someone who only requires radiation as someone who requires both. It is cheaper. When we get early detection, it saves money and it saves lives. I wouldn't put those things on the same plane, but it is important for you to understand it really does save money. So mammograms are extremely important. 95% of the people in my category who have small tumors have a 95% of them are alive in 5 years. I'm coming up on 3.5, and let me tell you, I have lots left to do. I've left teaching, but I've joined the Susan G. Komen Foundation. I am their advocacy chair, and I'm here along with Rebecca Hamilton and Carol Misrach to tell you our own stories and how much they mean to us, and hopefully how they can inform the decisions you make regarding these two pieces of legislation. Some identification of disease, as you've learned, comes through clinical breast exams, but some of it comes through mammograms. And so we need House Bill 2497 and House Bill 2498 to save the lives of many Oregon women. And I thank you for listening.
Okay, thank you. I want you to speak, maybe all of you or some of you, about the amendment that we have that would lower the age from 40 to 18.
I would be happy to do that. In my work with the Komen Foundation, I wish I could tell you that I was under 40, but I'm not. In my work with the Komen Foundation, I have learned, and through two friends who passed away from breast cancer, I have learned that young women are more likely to die.
Okay.
And that's the significance.
Okay, good. Thank you. We're going to leave it at that because we have to move along. We're going to lose a member here in a few minutes, so... thank you very much. Thank you. And then Senator Bates, would you please come up, please? And then after, I'm sorry, Courtney, stay there, Courtney.
That's fine.
Yeah, and then if, yeah, because we're going to go into work session in a few moments.
This bill confuses me.
What?
This bill confuses me the way it's written.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Courtney. Oh, okay. Senator Bates.
Mr. Chair and fellow members of the committee, as I was stepping in my car to drive to Medford, I got grabbed by the ear and brought back in, so here I am. I want to try to clarify, and if I'm saying things you've already heard, I apologize, but I'm going to try to make this as clear as I possibly can on the... present standard of practice for examinations and detection of breast cancer, and what I'm reading here is not correct in the bill itself, so I want to make this very clear as I can. Women from the age of 18 to 40 are recommended to have a self-breast exam monthly as a minimum and annually by their treating physician or nurse practitioner or PA. We do not recommend mammograms for those women unless they're in some kind of a high-risk situation, because the mammograms themselves, especially over a period of time, can actually induce cancer in breast. There are instances as we go along in the 18 to 40 area that we often will do ultrasounds, which are not as accurate as mammograms, but are helpful. and are safe. We are also beginning to use MRIs for breast exams, which also have no radiation involved with them. We believe to be safer also. That is still cutting edge in many areas, although we already are using MRIs at times. As far as I understand this bill is concerned, remember I got pulled out of the car by my ear 5 minutes ago. This does not read appropriately to me. You should have an annual clinical examination for all women beginning at age 18 and going through the rest of their life, basically. Mammograms beginning at age 40 every other year or every year depending on the individual involved, and at about age 65 going to every other year. That is standard practice right now. I don't believe it had, frankly, much impact on the insurance rates because it's what we do all the time. Our biggest problem is convincing young women that they need to come in for exams. Young women have a much lower incidence of breast cancer, but they have the most aggressive breast cancer. That so when a young woman in her 20s or 30s gets breast cancer, her likelihood of a fatal outcome is much higher. These cancers are incredibly dangerous, move at a rate that you can almost see them growing. They're actually terrifying cancers to physicians when we see them. And so while they're rare, there are terrible outcomes on them, and that means you need to have your own self-breast exam every single month, and all women under the age of 40 should have a breast exam by their clinician once a year. I hope I've made that clear.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I believe that in the bill, in line 8, and the amendment, it says an annual clinical, not a mammogram, an annual clinical breast examination for the purpose of early detection for a woman 18 years of age or older. It's the clinical exam. It's not a mammogram.
I don't have that amendment in front of me. What I have is 2498A in gross, which on line 11 says an annual clinical breast examination for the purpose of early detection for a woman 40 years of age or older. That obviously should read 18 ages, age 18.
Mr.
Chair. Oh. Okay. So I hope I have muddied the water more for you, but make it clear.
But that's okay. Senator Cruz.
Senator Cruz.
I'm just curious, a woman comes in to have these other exams, how much additional cost is there to do a clinical breast exam?
In my particular practice, and I think in most practices, we charge a global fee for that. We call it a well woman exam, mm-hmm. and it's no extra fee at all. And so I doubt that it has any financial impact. The purpose of this bill, I would hope, is that we are trying to convince young women that just because of their age, they are not bulletproof. They too can get breast cancer, and while it's rare, it's extremely dangerous breast cancer.
Okay. Did you see the -3 amendments?
I have not seen the -3 amendments.
Three amendments.
Okay.
It's nice that Senator Bates could come in and just muck
it up.
You're really mucking
it up. You throw a doctor into the mix and things.
You know, I'd be going through Eugene by now.
Well, he's not Coburg.
No, he'd be stopped in Coburg about now, wouldn't he?
Okay, yeah.
The lights.
That would be the insertion of age 18 would appear to resolve the issue. That looks good. I hope I haven't made things worse for you. Thank you.
Okay.
May I be excused?
Yes, you may be excused.
Oh, no. Can I ask
thank
more
you.
Questions?
No.
No, this is very brief, Dr. Bates, but just, and I apologize for being late, but I just heard what you said, and when we talk about a clinical breast examination, that is just part of the routine checkup that you would have.
Absolutely.
What you're saying, it's not a particular procedure like a mammogram.
Mr. Chair and Senator Metzer, yes, that's absolutely true. This is something that's routine. It's done. It should be done at each exam on an annual basis by the clinician, and the patient should be instructed in how to do self-breast exams every month. That is not as accurate or effective as a mammogram. We know that, but because of the risk of increasing the incidence of breast cancer with mammograms and difficulty of reading mammograms in younger breast tissue, we're not recommending at this time mammograms for women under the age of 40.
Just another question. I get confused here. That's part, in your case, you're doing the exam. That's part of your exam now.
Correct.
And probably for most clinicians, it would be part of the exam.
I would hope so. It should be.
I mean, I'm just wondering if that's part of what exists, why doing a mandate is going to change practice. It's really not, is it?
Well, I would guess that the reason this is being done, and again, I'm coming in here at the last moment, there may be specific health insurance policies from certain companies that don't cover this, and it should be mandated into them. The large insurers, I'm sure, cover this already.
But if you do it as part of your
well woman exam,
and all these the rest of it is covered, and there's this piece, I'm not sure, how would that be carved out?
The only thing I can tell you, and I'm coming in late in this thing, so I'm giving the clinical situation. My experience with some insurance companies is that when I charge a well woman exam, they won't pay for it. And so we actually have to break it out in codes that we did a pelvic, we did a breast exam, we did this, we did that, which is something that then they pick apart what they will and won't pay for. And the woman is in a situation she thought it was all paid for. I'm guessing that's what we're trying to get to in this mandate, is to bring some uniformity into the insurance industry, which will allow us to go ahead and do well women exams and do them properly. I'm making an assumption there that I don't know for sure, Senator Cruz, but I'm assuming that's what we're looking at here. I can't see any reason to do it.
Okay.
And it also raises the level of awareness, which may be the most important thing, that women should get the breast exam every year, and the clinician should do it every year.
Okay. Mr. Just one more. I'm putting things in statute very seldom raises awareness, but if you're carving this thing up, the clinical breast exam, how much would that cost? I mean, I'm just trying to get a picture of.
If I would say that if a woman came in for strictly a breast exam in my office and for nothing else, I'd probably charge what's called a level 2, which I think is about $40.
Okay, for a well woman exam, how much would that cost?
Well woman exam is probably $125.
And the percent of that that would go to the breast exam would be 40.
The reason you can't break it out that way is because you got a certain expense just for bringing someone into your office and going out. Well, it's much more efficient to do a complete examination, both for her and the doctor, and for the insurance company.
Well, okay. Just one more, because I'm agreeing with that, but yeah. I'm just trying to figure out how an insurance company would be able to carve that out of.
They discount the fee on Mr. Chair and Senator Cruz. They start discounting your fees on well women exams and say that they will only pay for such and such, and they start chopping it up, it gets to be a nightmare for you.
Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Okay.
What if I wasn't done?
You're done.
Yeah, you're done.
Courtney.
Pardon me?
May I be excused?
Yeah, yeah, you are excused. Please, you are excused. Thank you very much.
I table it.
Chair, members of the committee, my name is Courtney Dresser, and I'm the Government Relations Director for the American Cancer Society. We are obviously very much in support of both of these bills, and I wanted to address some of the confusion of why there are two separate bills instead of one. There is a protocol for some women, especially women that are in have had clean pap tests every 3 years, 3 years in a row. They don't necessarily need to go in for a well woman exam or an annual exam every year to get a pelvic exam. However, they do need to get an annual clinical breast exam. That's why the bills are separated out. And I hope that helps clarify why that is there. We're also very supportive of the Dash-3 amendments because and I'll speak as a woman under the age of 40. I am not qualified to get a mammogram. However, as you have heard, women under 40 who do get breast cancer usually have a much harder time fighting it. And so it is very important that women of my age go in and get their annual clinical breast exam and to know what to look for in a self-breast exam and to get that training from their doctor. So, again, we're very supportive of both of these bills, and we encourage you to send them off to the Senate floor.
Thank you. Okay, with that, I'm going to close the public hearing on both bills, Senate Bill 2498 and 2497. Okay, we will open the work session on Senate Bill 2498 as amended.
Mr. Chair, I move the -A3 amendments to House Bill 2498.
Okay, House Bill 2498. Senator Mona Sanderson moves the Dastrey amendments to Senate Bill 2498 as amended. Any objection? Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2498 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Mona Sanderson moves House Bill 2498 as amended to the floor, Senate floor, with a due pass recommendation. Would you call the roll, please?
Vice Chair Cruz.
This one, I think, is written better than the other one. I'll vote aye. Provisionally, I still need more research, Mr. Chair, but
that's
now
aye.
I'll vote aye. Well, we'll get into the other one. Provisional aye.
Yeah. Provisional aye.
Senator Metzger.
Just a regular aye.
Senator Montana.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, let's see, that's 98, yeah, okay. So, House Bill 2498 as amended has been approved and will go to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation carried by Senator Brown, I believe. Okay. And now we're going to open a work session on House Bill 2497.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2497 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Mona Sanderson moves House Bill 2497 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Senator Cruz.
I've been trying to figure out this bill and reading it. It appears to me that, and I may be reading it wrong, that this removes the sunset from everything. And if indeed that's what it does, I don't think that was the intent.
I believe it was the intent.
To remove the sunset from all mandates?
Chair,
go ahead.
Yeah. Chair Marcet, you have attached some of your packet a list of the three statutes on line 25 of section 1 of the bill. I did confirm with legislative counsel what the bill does just for the hearing. It does just eliminate the automatic sunset to the those three statutes, being pregnancy, mammograms, and pelvic examinations. And the subsequent language in section 2 simply allows, since two of those sunset in July and the third one I think in October, the bill simply, the section 2 covers should the bill be enacted or enrolled after the sunset date.
Okay. Does this repeal the sunset?
Just for those three statutes.
Okay.
Three coverages.
Mr. Chair, we've had discussions on some other mandates about the repeal of the sunset and why it is positive to be able to review them over time as technology increases, and so I don't think it's appropriate to repeal the sunset. The extension would be fine, but not with the repeal.
Thank you. Other discussion? Okay. Would you call the roll, please?
Vice Chair Cruz?
No. For the reasons stated.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Senator Montana?
Aye.
Senator Charles
Carter?
Aye.
Chair
Moynihan? Aye. Okay, House Bill 2497 has been approved and will, with a due pass recommendation, I believe, and will go to the Senate floor. And anybody want
to?
Senator Brown will carry the bill. We close the public work session and close the business of the committee. Thank you.